Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I'm going to be speaking to you now about the chart for the Sagittarius new moon, which arrives in Eastern and Central Time, U.S., on December 1st, Sunday, 1:21 a.m. for us, Eastern Standard. A little west of us, it's very late evening on Saturday, right? So the chart shows the moon conjunct the sun in Sagittarius at 9 degrees of the sign. And that is basically a separating trine from Mars in Leo. And also, there would have been maybe a sextile for the Sagittarian planets to Pluto in probably the moon, definitely to Pluto in Aquarius now. So there is some assistance right away for people who are looking at these energies of Sagittarius and what we want to achieve in the realm of higher education, dealing with foreign nations. You know, there's a lot of breadth and width to this sign. You know, it's long distance journeys and travel. And it is also about our beliefs, our rituals. It has a lot to do with religion in the dogma sense. So again, as I've mentioned recently in several of my podcasts, signs have a spectrum from what we might consider lower behavior energies, and then they go up to the highest level energy. And this sign, of course, I have spoken about when the sun entered Sagittarius, and it is a very important place for us to learn how to open our mind to the new. And that's where the dogma part gets to be a lower vibrational use of this sign that wants to embrace a higher perspective. You know, the centaur shooting its arrow up to the sky, the image of the horse and the animal nature, of which we all are in this body, and then the human attitude of questing for knowledge and greater knowledge. And this is where it gets tricky with the issues of the dogma. And we're seeing so much rising up on that issue now in the world, and not just here, but specifically here in the United States. Definitely here right now. So the Mars in Leo trine is a encouragement towards the issues of self-expression, but also it can be loyalty. It is a crusader for children and artists and entertainment. So there's some energies that are going to be seen moving on those issues, and also investments and ways to increase what we call, quote, the kingdom when we are looking at the sign of Leo. Faithful, loyal supporters of all kinds for all kinds of people. Faithful, loyal supporters of all faiths. We are not the only faith, no matter who you are speaking. There are many. And, you know, it would be kind of helpful if we could understand that there is a basic connection to all forms of spirituality. However, when it gets into the dogmas, which moves into the Capricorn region of the rules and regulations, and what is right and wrong in this ability to look at the spiritual or the philosophical aspects of life, because that is also Sagittarian. It has many connections. It has connections to the natural world because of the horse nature, but also because it is the sign of natural law, not the laws of man that create the dogmas, but the laws of how all things are interacting. You know, the sun's rising in the east. You know, it's we've had some wonderful full moons. I don't think we'll see as bright a full moon again as we have seen with those last super moons. Just incredible. But to feel the energy of the effect is also something that Sagittarius would be aware of and seek. So, you know, the idea of codifying and making it absolute is something that happens with original thought. You know, it just starts to happen, right? And people can take the same teaching and these higher teachings and then put their own interests and energy into it and create a spin-off. There have been many. So the reason I'm mentioning it at this new moon is that the new moon is an approaching square to Saturn, now direct in Pisces. And so Saturn is, again, the laws, the codification, that this is the way, methods and discipline. In Pisces can also be seen as imposing that upon the inner spirituality of the knowing that Pisces can have. Pisces is a sign of prophecies and visions. So it's Saturn is still moving along with Nessus, the Pholus friend, and Nessus is the one that gets rid of the solar hero, finally, wounds him in retaliation, and so it becomes the buck stops here. It's the buck stopping here about a certain part of our human nature, of our personal nature as being a personality ego. And, you know, we have to have that to function in the world. But, you know, it's certain parts of us can use some work, you know, our shadow sides or, you know, the patterns that we are unconsciously following. So the solar hero hasn't wanted to do that, hasn't wanted to look at it, so it's always, Hercules is always shooting and trying to kill the centaurs who come in from outer land, and they do not orbit the same way as we do. So they're there to sort of shake the tree, make you see, and in Nessus, we are seeing where we are changing the lineage. You know, if it's in your birth chart, it's where you came in to have the buck stop here about the behavior of the lineage. And the lineage can be your bloodline particularly, or the cultural lineage, which is what Capricorn and Saturn are involved with, that this is the societal standard. This is the consensus belief in what is right and good. All right, so here we are, new moon. You can open it up if you so desire and take a look at where you might like to expand your own horizons and your own perceptions and your wisdom during the next cycle before the full moon, particularly, which Yes, that full moon, I should have looked at it, but it is on the 15th day of December, and it is at 23 degrees of Gemini. So the spiral moving upward until the peak and the fruition. Now, one of the things that is also happening is that this chart is showing Mercury in Sagittarius is now retrograde. That's something that we are going to be discussing in the weekly astrology forecast. And if you're on Substack, you'll be seeing this on the Moon Days report on Monday, which is going to be open to you as unpaid subscriber until December, and then it will become a section which for $6 a month or $60 a year, you can get these full experiences of what is going on every week, the emphasis and the podcast as well. So here we are with the retrograde Mercury in Sagittarius going back over now some of the happenings, some of the beliefs. Some of the truth is a big sign in the, it's a big deal in the sign of Sagittarius. So, the truth, where have we seen truth? Where have we not seen it? And we are having Mercury opposing Jupiter, which is the ruling planet, or what I like to call now the resonating planet to Sagittarius. In Gemini, which is the resonating sign for Mercury. So they're opposing because, again, one wants to be more logical and practical, analytical, name it, you know, kind of feel like you've got all the information you need, but you want to see a lot of the details. That's the Mercury and Gemini side. And then Sagittarius wants to create a big umbrella for all of that, you know, so that you can see the big picture. It's still involving whatever that dialogue and conversation is, and whatever that information is, but still finding that. And so we see Jupiter as expanding consciousness through Gemini at this point. So this opposition is something. You know, we would call a mutual reception since each planet is in the other's house of resonance. It's easy for them to go back and forth. So, this, despite the fact that it is opposing, is actually lending itself to being able to come to some purposeful and you know, and a dialogue that can actually come to some agreements possible. And now, when we look at the world, you know, and we see what's going on there, this is also more possible, especially with the mutable signs, which are changeable, and Sagittarius and Gemini are both mutable. Pisces is another mutable, and so is Virgo. But the Pisces energy right now, holding Saturn and Neptune, is a little bit fearful and uncertain, and then also wanting to create firm dogmas. So it's a little bit off. And we'll see that shift once these two planets move into Aries, which they will for a short period in 2025, but not. Really, until 2026, will we see the real movement that will take place? So, this is potential for your list of intentions that we set at the new moon, what we want to see. We can want to see it for the world also. As Pluto is now in Aquarius, we are the larger group focus of power. And the power in Aquarius that we have is the power of our energy. I tell you this, be telling you this for a long time. It's a mantra now. I have the power of my vision. my vision is positive and for the highest good to come in, the most benevolent outcome, the most benevolent use of the energy of the mind, of the intuition. So this is, you know, something that we are in now. And I do have a Substack post I would love you to read that has to do with not just, you know, the projected thought about what might be happening with Pluto in this sign, but why we can see the Pluto transformations usually after they're complete. We might not have anticipated these, but once it's over, there is this recognition of how things have shifted in the nature of the sign that Pluto transits. And that Substack is following the Pluto path or something like that. It is, right now I have part one up, which starts with Pluto in Aries in the 1800s. And we go through Virgo, and then I'll bring it back into the near future, near past, with the energy of including up through Aquarius here as well. So I think it's important to know that, because, you know, we put our hopes on just one aspect of Pluto in a sign. It's okay for us to keep our vision on that. But we will see other things transforming, particularly in Aquarius, which is energy itself, which we see leaps and bounds. I mean, my phone has got a new update. You know, it's going to be put in tonight. You know, it's constantly changing technologies and media. So, it's doing a Zoom reading for somebody yesterday. The screen wouldn't show the way it usually does, and I have no idea why. This has been happening a lot with Zoom. In fact, I'm going to have to take a look at getting in touch with someone there and asking them, why do you keep making this shift? That was great. I was doing fine. But, you know, change is Aquarius, and now we've got a lot of power in that. And power is also wealth, great wealth goes in there, and people have jobs, you know. So if they're programmers, you know, they got to keep programming. And that's going to give us all the need to keep adjusting. Venus is in Capricorn for this new moon. It is sitting with Ceres, the goddess of grains, protector of children, agriculture. And this is the sign of government. So for the first time since before COVID, I saw a post about GMO foods. And all the countries in the world that don't have them, and the United States is one of the few that is not on the list. So, interesting, this new moon is coming. We are starting to value, you know, some things about the need to protect agriculture. And this Venus is in a sextile to Neptune in Pisces, which is, you know, kind of trying to work with those Neptunian, well, we also have had E. coli outbreaks, so this is more of an infection issue. You know, what is it about this? Is it the corporations and how they're processing things? Is it how things are being handled after they are being picked, or who's picking it? You know, this is part of the issue that will be looked at, Venus in Capricorn. And it's also trine Uranus in Taurus, Uranus still retrograde. And this is perhaps a place where we can start seeing in the past also things that have changed in the realm of food, which is very Taurian. Cancer too, of course, but very, the sense of taste, definitely. Taurus issue, and nature, which supplies a lot of our food, right? So it is going to be something that we can look at if you want to make a vision about that for yourself and for the world. Then this is a good new moon to be doing that on, because the only difficulty that we see with Venus in Capricorn with Ceres is that there's a square, a challenge aspect from Eris and sort of Chiron in Aries. And so for our purposes of positive vision, we have to see that it could be good for us to have someone come forward and rattle the cage and take a positive leadership position on this area. And so we'll see. We will see. And seeing, once again, our vision, that is our power. We have the nodes getting into the lower degrees of South Node Libra and North Node Aries. Mars is an aspect. It's a separating aspect, but it has given a trine to the North Node and a sextile to the South Node. So what we may have seen over the week before Sunday, December the 1st, is again some sort of action involving the issues of the nodes, which we're getting ready to shift into different nodes in 2025. We'll only have one more eclipse in Aries, and that is going to be something that occurs in March, the end of March, a solar eclipse at 9 degrees Aries. So this new moon is trining that. And we have actually got a centaur on 8 degrees of Aries now as we look at this new moon too, and that is Okiros, the prophet daughter, prophetess, daughter of Chiron and Cariclo. She is looking at what we've been trying to look at, is how do we have leadership that is truly for the people, not just for the self. How do we handle leadership without aggression and anger? Where are we falling down in legal matters with the South Node in Libra? Where are we breaking our promises, our vows? Why are we people-pleasing instead of taking action? Action where action is truly needed, the North Node. Individual freedoms, North Node, Aries. Okay? So it's not as dramatic as some of the charts we've looked at over the past year, but we can see some of the issues rising up. Certainly, wars in foreign lands are still there. And this is where we see the Mercury in Sag and the Jupiter in Gemini really having some effects. And we have Nessus squaring, Nessus Saturn squaring that opposition too. So something might be able to, you know, be the moment that's, you know, going to handle it, maybe not forever, because it seems as though we've been at war constantly. And if you think it's just recent, go to that Substack post and look what happened when Pluto went into Aries and the subsequent years that have followed. Yeah, you'll see. Yeah, we had our revolution when Pluto was in Capricorn in the 1700s, and that was, you know, pretty much because of Uranus, but, you know, we had the Napoleonic Wars in Pluto in Pisces, and that was pretty big focus, but it starts to spread. with Pluto in Aries. So we'll see. We'll see if there's anything that can have the buck stop with something. We might see it as we approach the full moon that, again, is taking place in, well, I think it's actually the day of my birth, the 15th. So it's in 24. It's 25-ish. Sag. So that's what I wanted to convey. This is always more. Yeah, it's actually 23:53. That means it's 7 seconds, minutes before my degree. So anyway, you can wish me a happy birthday online at the full moon. And that, oh, the present. Yes, I think I might have mentioned this before. I do get a present on my birthday from the universe, other than the full moon, which I was born under, that Mercury goes direct that day. So going now to close this and shift over to a podcast for the weekly astrology forecast. So you'll have two different recordings, two different podcasts for each of those two. Okay? So, hope you do well setting your intentions, remembering your vision, understanding that something could be settled and worked out. And I'll say goodbye for now.